I have been quite touched by the change in the poor old man. When he sat down beside me, he said in a very gentle way,
"I want to say something to you, miss."
I could see he was not at ease, so I took his poor old wrinkled hand in mine and asked him to speak fully. So he said, leaving his hand in mine,
"I'm afraid, my dearie, that I must have shocked you by all the wicked things I've been saying about the dead and such like for weeks past. But I didn't mean 'em, and I want you to remember that when I'm gone. We old folks that be daffled and with one foot above the crook hole don't altogether like to think of it, and we don't want to feel scared of it, and that's why I've took to making light of it, so that I cheer up my own heart a bit. But Lord love you, miss, I ain't afraid of dying, not a bit. Only I don't want to die if I can help it. My time must be nigh at hand now, for I be old, and 100 years is too much for any man to expect. And I'm so nigh up that the old man is already wetting his scythe. You see, I can't get out of the habit of coughing about it all at once. The shafts will wag as they be used to. Some day soon the angel of death will sound his trumpet for me. But don't you dole and greet, my dearie, for he saw that I was crying. If he should come this very night, I'd not refuse to answer his call. For life be, after all, only a-waiting for something else than what we're doing, and death be all that we can rightly depend on. But I'm content, for it's coming to me, my dearie, and coming quick, and maybe coming while we be looking and wondering. Maybe it's in that wind out over the sea that's bringing with it loss and wreck and sore distress and sad hearts. Look, look!" he cried suddenly. "There's something in that wind in the oast beyond that sounds and looks and tastes and smells like death. It's in the air. I feel it coming. Lord, make me answer cheerful when my call comes." He held up his arms devoutly and raised his hat. His mouth moved as though he were praying. After a few minutes' silence, he got up, shook hands with me and blessed me, and said good-bye and hobbled off. It all touched me and upset me very much. I was glad when the coast guard came along with his spyglass under his arm. He stopped to talk with me, as he always does, but all the time kept looking at a strange ship. "I can't make her out," he said. "She's a Russian by the look of her, but she's knocking about in the queerest way. She doesn't know her mind a bit. She seems to see the storm coming, but can't decide whether to run up north in the open or to put in here. Look there again. She has steered mighty strangely, for she doesn't mind the hand on her wheel. Changes about with every puff of wind. We'll hear more of her before this time tomorrow."
This ends Disc 3.